America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd like to say something.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
God, there was one week when you wore sweatpants every day.
Oh, you know what? If they were Sean John sweatpants, it would have been fine. But because they're Costco brand, it's like the worst thing I could do.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, all right, welcome back in hour number two. Numero dos here on The Fan. The Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2. And, of course, YouTube. Good morning, YouTube. Let's be kind to each other.
Everybody be nice.
We love each other.
We're all yelling at each other about the Blazers now. That's the start of the day today.
When you say yelling, are there exclamation points on all those comments?
No, I just view it as yelling.
You view it as
like
yelling
into
like a boy.
I'm really typing into my computer and vape sitter now.
I was yelling at people on social media in my garage by myself yesterday afternoon. It's very healthy what
feels
I was
good.
Doing.
Let it all out. Just vent it, man. You scream it into a pillow.
What a great schedule for Oregon State. No! No!
Holy catfish!
No, it's not!
Stop it. Stop it. Why do people do that to themselves? I just don't get it, man. I don't get it.
I'd rather play the Cougs twice and travel 2,000 miles and play on the Big Ten Network. No!
Oh! Yeah! Go, baby!
Need another one? Keep it coming.
What it felt like all day yesterday.
Keep it coming.
Oh, spicy.
You want to get into that schedule now? You want to talk
I don't want to talk about it.
Their last home game is like early November. Their senior day is like November 8th, man.
Shut up.
It's not good.
I saw that the return game to the Pullman is the Pac-12 championship. Like, oh, that's how we're spinning this.
I mean, and somebody did bring up a good point. I think it was our buddy Bill Connolly. If they split the first two, the third one, you know, I think you should play something called a Pac-12 championship. Give me the third one. I know two's not enough. I need three. It's a three-game series. You're turning into Major League Baseball. I love it. You can really decide. All the arguments over the years, you lost, we should have won that game. Now you get another crack at them. If you lose a close one, you get another crack at them a couple of weeks later.
I hate you. I absolutely hate you.
To be fair, like, what did you want him to do?
Get an FCS team, get a win.
Yeah.
Why would you play that game twice? Do you care more about ticket sales?
I mean, I think the answer to that is yes. I think they desperately need ticket sales, and that's why they did that. Their home schedule is really rough next year. Really rough next year.
Yeah, I had somebody was like, oh, I'd rather have this in an FCS team. I said, they have Lafayette and Sam Houston on this schedule. Can you please differentiate those two things?
Yeah, it's not even Louisiana Lafayette. No, it's Lafayette, which Lafayette. I didn't know was a thing. There's a Lafayette College? I did not know that.
We're all learning new things with
no,
this world.
No, I think it's the same school. They just dropped Louisiana.
Oh, they're no longer Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah, they're just Lafayette.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to clarify that because every time I hear Lafayette, I think Louisiana Lafayette. And then there was no Louisiana on
just
there.
A little tough, a little difficult to deal with. We can't admit that it sucks. I got people like defending it. It's like, no, you don't need to defend it. Nobody's going to that tailgate excited about the Sam Houston game.
No, it's a brutal home schedule. But I will maintain, like, I'm with you on the FCS thing. Wins should maybe be more important. They're desperate for ticket sales, and it's not easy to make a schedule up out of thin air. They had the Mountain West agreement this year that has obviously gone away because now they're suing each other. I'll sue you. You sue me. And they're poaching their teams. So this will all get settled a little bit going into 2026. You're going to have a conference schedule again, conference championship. Like all of some things will return to a sense of normalcy, and you won't have to pull a schedule out of your ass in like 4 months. But there is an aspect that, like, I laughed at it. I chuckled at the optimism and excitement from Beaver fans who were just optimistic and excited about anything that happens to their day. We lost to UNLV. This is great. Like, they'll find a positive spin for anything.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, there isn't as, like, I don't know what you wanted them to do outside of just schedule Portland State, but that's another game. Then you have Sam Houston State, Lafayette, and Portland State are three of your seven home games. Like, that's a, well, that's a brutal ass to, hey, buy season tickets. Yeah. These are three of the seven games you get.
I think that's the part that I kind of get stuck on is, like, what's more important? Is it, I know making money for them is the most important thing given what's happened, but is it more important to get a dub for your future or risk losing twice to the same team in one season, which
I'm
sure it's happened at some point in college football history, but
there was another conference that did this a couple of years ago. Okay. I can't remember who it was. Somebody, it was on social media yesterday. Some conference did this where two teams played each other twice.
But my point is, it largely doesn't happen, which makes you go, whoa, they're playing each other twice in a year. And I get the difficulty handed to them, but I don't know. I think I just value wins a little more.
That's fair.
This is a short term thing for people, like, well, it's only for 1 year. You bridge it going to 2026. Okay, cool. But like, if they lose and they're worse than 8-4 this year, the recruiting's not going to pick up. I know it sounds doom and gloom, but it kind of already is.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's not just being a Debbie Downer. It's just like being kind of honest about this stuff of, yeah, the schedule might be better in 26 for Oregon State. It'll still feel irrelevant.
You're not wrong there. Depending on who you get in non-conference, and I can't remember what their non-conference is off the top of my head, although they did book one with Appalachian State. That'd be a fun trip to take. Go out to Boone, North Carolina. Looks like a cool stadium.
I have no interest in
it. I know you don't. I know. Here's what I would say. I think based on what we've seen from Oregon State this year, they are clearly in a this is clearly going to take some time to get back to where they want to be as a program.
Where they were.
Just getting back to where you were. And I think in order to get back to where you were, it's going to take you 2 to 3 years to get there. And so I understand the argument of, hey, would you rather be 8-4 or 7-5 next year? Like, sure, you'd take 8-4 over 7-5, but is that one win going to have a massive difference in terms of now we have a top 30 recruiting class instead of a 74th ranked recruiting class? Mm. Like, I just think it's going to take you some time to get there. And I don't think this is a team, like, I saw Beaver fans debating yesterday the merit of their schedule and what it would mean for quality wins and like a playoff conversation. It's like, guys, that's not happening next year. You're a ways away from that. When you get into the new PAC conference and you can win it and get an automatic qualifier spot, then it's totally valid.
They're not eligible next year.
You're still not eligible next year. You're not going to get in as an at-large. So, like, all of that is a moot point. This isn't a strength of schedule thing.
It's not a playoff conversation.
And so I do think next year, after chuckling at it yesterday, because it is embarrassing to play, and it's like twice in like 3 weeks, too. It's not like you play them in September and then play them again in November. I think you play them twice in the same
November
month.
November 1st and then November 29th.
So you play them in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, that's,
there's three. Yeah, there's two games in between them with a bye.
In between them.
So their schedule, by the way, is California to home opener, Fresno State. So there's your two home openers. Then you're at Texas Tech, and then you're at Oregon. Then you're home against Houston, at Appalachian State, bye. Home, Lafayette, Wake Forest, Wazoo, Sam Houston, at Tulsa, bye, at Washington State.
Yeah, the big bummer is your senior day is early November, and that's just weird. Your last home game of the year, I think, is early, like November 8th or whatever day
it'd be
that
Sam
game
Houston
is.
State. Yeah.
So that's
Sam Houston.
Yeah, that's a brutal end to your home schedule right there. So, I see the argument, but I think their thought is we need to sell as many tickets as we can. How do we make the home schedule? Whether we go 6-6, 7-5, like, we're still going to have to build to get to where we want to go, and one game's not going to make a big difference. But you know what might? A fan looking at that slate and say, hey, if you took the Washington State game away and you gave me Portland State and said I'm not going to buy season tickets, now I might buy season tickets.
I did have somebody text me, why did they introduce their graphic with the stadium upside down on the top?
I didn't even notice that.
Look at the schedule, and I don't know why they did this. Instead of putting like the Beaver logo, they inverted their stadium upside down.
This is in the Oregon State. Oh, they did.
It's like a header. It's weird.
Yeah, it's like a stadium sandwich.
The bottom with the stadium makes sense, but yes. The top is, it's an upside down stadium. They couldn't even do the graphic right.
That's kind of a funny look.
I don't know what they're doing with that one.
My favorite thing yesterday, too, was that Oregon State tweeted this out, and then there was a local reporter 2 minutes after they tweeted it out was saying, sources tell me this is what their schedule's going to be.
No.
They literally just said it out themselves. It's already, I could say, it's right there. I don't need a source. They're the source. Oregon State football is the source. They just tweeted out their 2025 schedule. Sources indicate to me that they're going to be going to Appalachian State. They're going to get this game at home. They will be playing the Cougs twice. Like, yeah, I too have seen the tweet, man. My sources confirmed.
Literally tweeted it out.
That's the news that I'm confirming.
But sources. Everybody's got sources.
You got to have your sources. I got my sources telling me who's everybody playing.
Oh, man.
Good early home schedule, rough end of the season home schedule.
I disagree with you.
Well, I mean, look, you at least Cal is an ACC team that you can make fun of if you beat them. Fresno State, whatever. Houston's a Big 12 team, so you get
Houston
that at least.
Sucks.
I know they do.
You don't got to polish the turd.
I'm just trying to tell you at least their power. At least you have power conferences at the beginning of the schedule, and then going Lafayette, Sam Houston State towards the end is going to be rough.
I guess
that's going to be rough.
At Texas Tech and at Oregon doesn't look great.
No, it does not. Although Texas Tech shouldn't be, I don't know how good Texas Tech's going to be.
I was thinking about your Ducks yesterday in regards to the play at this one position and just how vital it's been and continues to be for the program. So I want to talk about that coming up. We got George Reister at the bottom of the hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 1080 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Texas police are just the best. I love you, my Beaver brethren. Don't be mad at my thoughts and feelings on it. You can love and support them all you want, and I encourage to do such. But I did not get excited about that schedule. I don't think it's anything to be excited about. And I feel like I've known their lot in this life for over a year now, but we'll wait and see, I guess. But the Texas police are the best. The Oracle has struck again on this great radio program. Anytime he wants to chime in.
The facts were not the weight on this one.
And tell us that he knows. He ends up not knowing. Wrong again, Jason Swigard. Lafayette is not Louisiana Lafayette. It is a Patriot League FCS team.
They are the Lafayette Leopards. Yeah. The Lafayette Leopards, who, if you're wondering, they're 4-3 this year. They've lost to Buffalo, Columbia, and Georgetown. I did not know that Georgetown played football.
Yeah, the Fighting Patrick Ewings.
The Fighting Patrick Ewings have a football team. I did not know that.
Villanova has a football team,
I know that. They've been at least relevant. They've, like, don't they contend
in their FCS
level? They
Villanova's
contend.
Been good in football?
They, like, go with deep runs in the playoffs from time to time. I've seen Villanova play football. Georgetown, I've never seen play football.
We'll get to our big pee-pee picks. George Reister's going to join the show at 7:30.
Yes, he is.
He played football at Oregon.
That he did.
Unlike you, he knows. He's been there. I've taken hits.
I actually saw random highlights of his the other day. There's these like accounts that'll tweet out this day in sports history or whatever.
He retweeted one of them because I think I saw the same
there
highlight.
There was one where they were playing Mississippi State in their opener, and I'm like, George Reister, he caught a long touchdown. Like, that's right, good memories.
You know, one thing that you're not aware of, but I just find it interesting in college football is how we're handling what most perceive to be the most important position in sport. And that is
kicker,
quarterback.
Oh, gotcha.
We knew Dillon Gabriel had the experience to come on in and figure out that Will Stein offense. His numbers, I comped into Bo Nix's first 7 games of last year. I should have done the first year because
it would have been a better comp.
Yeah. But if you just compare it to last year, Nick's had three less interceptions at this point, and he had two more touchdowns at this point,
okay,
and about five more passing yards than at this point. The completion percentage similarities, Gabriel is at 77, Nick's was at 78. So largely, your quarterback play has not dropped.
Nope.
And now, you can certainly suggest about weapons and changes with personnel on the field, no doubt about it. But it just, I've been thinking lately, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but I think what this year's Dylan Gabriel, what it's done with his performances is kind of put into perspective of, like, don't take what you have at that spot for granted. We said this about Bo Nix, and then they went and got Dylan Gabriel. And maybe many Duck fan are looking at the future and saying, well, we'll just have this with Moore. I don't know. I last time I saw him, he was throwing pick sixes. And it's just interesting that, like, as soon as you lose the most efficient player at the position you've ever had, you just fill it right in with the next most efficient player at the position you've ever had.
Yeah, it's a good spot to be in, and I'm with you. I think the big question for Lanning going forward at that spot is going to be, one, how do they develop the guys from high school, and how long does it take them to find a guy that he recruits, he develops, and they turn into the program quarterback?
Or is that important enough to him to do that
eventually
versus saying,
he wants
like,
to get there.
I'm going to go get the next Dylan Gabriel or Bo Nix on the market.
And look, your point on Dante Moore is valid. Like, that is about, the excitement about Dante Moore is where he was at in high school and the ranking he had in a recruiting world.
Yeah.
And looking at the situation at UCLA last year and saying, that team sucked. He was put in a bad situation. Like, not many freshman quarterbacks could succeed in that spot. Look, Ethan Garbers is a veteran who's played a lot of football in his life. He's their starting quarterback this year. It's a similarly bad team, and he's getting his ass whooped, and he's not doing much. Right, so
I'd argue the coaching has gotten worse.
Coaching has probably even gotten worse this year. So there's that aspect of, like, all right, now you got him in the system, and he's going to be around for a year. I think that's going to help Moore tremendously of being behind the scenes, learning from Will Stein. Will Stein will eventually leave for a head coaching job. Maybe I'm surprised, and it's this offseason. I don't quite think it'll be this offseason.
Oh, I'd be shocked if he's not gone this offseason.
You think I'll be curious to
just
see how that tracks.
Because how good they've been for 2 years,
yeah.
What his offense has looked like.
Yeah,
what's his age? Is he 40?
No, Will Stein's even younger than Lanning.
35? I know he played not that long ago.
Will Stein is 35 years old.
He's 35 years old. Yeah. We're seeing this with Dillingham at ASU, who's, I know they just lost to Cincinnati, but they've turned it around largely this year. I'll go the other way with you on that. I will be surprised if Will Stein is not called upon by some program and says, hey, young offensive mind.
Yeah, you want to come coach us?
We want that guy.
Very well could be the case. I'll be curious to see how that works out, because then it'll be on Lanning to go find the next guy. But he went through this a little bit offensively when Dillingham left of, like, dude, that ended up being a really good hire. Can
great
you replace
hire.
Him? And then Stein has done awesome. I have my criticisms from time to time with some of his cuteness and situations and some of his red zone calls. But he's been an awesome offensive coordinator. So that would help Moore a ton if he's around again for another year, just to have that understanding of the knowledge, the terminology, everything that goes with it, and playing the quarterback position. But there is an aspect of, if you can figure it out back-to-back years in the transfer portal, there's just a trust that's built in there now. Like, this is one of the things, if you want to compare coaching staffs, that really limited Mario at the end of his Oregon run. He had Herbert. He inherited Herbert. They won a Rose Bowl. It was great. And then after that, you win Tyler Shuck in the COVID year, which was a disaster, but that season doesn't really count, whatever. And you followed it up with Anthony Brown. Oof. And Ty Thompson was your prized blue chip recruit who you never got to a point of being able to play, and neither did Lanning, to be fair, and he's not even starting at Tulane. So that was an overrated recruit, but that was what really held him back from accomplishing the ultimate goals. And I remember having that thought when they brought in Bo Nix of, like, oh God, here we go again, another average college quarterback coming to town. Oops, ended up being really wrong on that one. So they have upgraded that position tremendously to where Oregon football used to be. You used to be able to hang your hat on them having an elite quarterback, whether it's an NFL guy or not. Darren Thomas was great in college. Dennis Dixon was awesome. Masoli was an awesome college quarterback. Vernon Adams went healthy. Like, they had a great track record at that position. It slipped a little bit, and now the last 2 years it's back.
I think if they don't hit the portal next year, and I'm not trying to get ahead of myself here, but I think what it's built up in just the 2 years is the trust factor, where a lot of people are going to say, no, Dante Moore's the dude. And I think the only pushback you're going to get to next year's Oregon team is that. It's like, well, they didn't get a Gabriel and Nix. They're going with the recruit. I'll wait and see. But you're going to have more trust built for Lanning that he's got the right guy than it will be questioning, like, oh, I don't know about this guy. 2 years in a row, Lanning has nailed that position,
yeah,
which is the most important. I don't know where you're at. You've continued to kind of sit in this, like, we're going to have a hiccup mentality.
You didn't say that they were going to lose to Purdue by any stretch, but I still think you were a little worried, short week, going to Indiana.
It's your first two time zone travel game.
You dusted Purdue. It was never in doubt that game. I don't know if you've changed in just a week of you think they're still going to have a hiccup. Maybe Wisconsin and what they do against Penn State will be a big one for you this weekend. Here was Brett Bielema talking on Sirius XM Big Ten Radio about preparing for Oregon.
Oregon is an exceptional football team. Dan Lanning, you guys know, is an exceptional coach that, you know, in the last 2.5 years, they've lost one game at home, right? So to do something like this, our guys are going to have attention to detail. They're going to have to stick to their plan. For me as a head coach, I probably need to be at my best this week, just kind of, you know, taking the noise away from them as best I can. Of course, when you two glorious individuals wanted an interview, I said, of course. But, like, we're getting a lot of media requests this week, and we'll turn down a lot of those just because I don't want to do anything this week that they haven't done in the past. As a head coach, I've got to manage these moments. But we just kind of live our routine, right? And our routine this week also, huge deal, Anthony. You know this as a player, right? When you go west, a lot of times you go out a day early. So we're leaving on Thursday instead of Friday. So that's different. But I want to – we talked about it as early as Sunday. We talked about it again this morning. Today at practice, we'll have the crowd noise blowing. This is obviously, we played at Penn State, didn't handle that great earlier in the year. So one of our season goals this year is, you know, learn from the past to prepare for the future. Well, there's no better example for us than Penn State to go into Oregon. Now we've had that. It didn't go well, and that's part of our history, and now we got to use it to our advantage.
You like this matchup? And by the way, we're one of those media entities that reached out for
tried to get
for an interview,
and yeah.
Illinois told us, thanks, bye-bye, piss off. You said a week ago you still kind of, I think, had a hiccup in your mind on this schedule, and it may be true, but they dominated and took care of business. Now, Bielema's coming in. He's a good football coach. They're ranked in the top 25. We mentioned this a little bit yesterday. You look at the stats. It kind of lines up as if this is a more favorable matchup for Oregon.
Yeah.
Are you in no hiccup zone? Like, has the team fully earned your trust of, you look at that schedule and you're not really as worried as maybe you were a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, et cetera?
Yeah, I still think it's the college football's dumb. Games happen every weekend that you go in, you're like, how the hell did that I didn't see that happening at all. This is the sport. You're dealing with 18 to 22-year-olds. There was in the cinematic recap of last week's, of the going into the Purdue game, there was a clip of Lanning at the team meeting basically being like, all right, let's take a deep breath here. How many people have had their phones blowing up for the last week after the win over Ohio State? And it's very easy to do the nameless, faceless Oregon versus Oregon. We're playing ourselves, like all the coach cliche mantra
crap.
That's
what he's doing, though.
But you have to do it because you cannot bubble wrap these kids and keep them completely insulated from everybody telling them how great their farts smell and how wonderful of a football team that they have. Like, you just can't do it. And so you're going to get texts. You're going to get people calling you, people wanting tickets. Like, hey, you guys are number one. Like, that's just a reality of the social media world that we live in. And so you tell me at some point Oregon comes out with a lackluster performance, I'm not going to be surprised. I don't think it'll be this weekend. I like the matchup for them. Illinois is a team that wants to be physical and run the ball. I still think if a team is going to get Oregon, they're going to do it similar to what Washington did last year. Now, you're not going to face a Penix-type quarterback, but you got to be able to throw the ball downfield, spread them out, take advantage of the secondary. That, to me, is how you beat Oregon. I think the Ducks are really stout up front in their front seven. I know their quarterback can run a little bit, but you're going to come in and try and be physical and run the football. I don't see that being highly successful against Oregon. And Illinois is a team that is a feisty, good team that's not going to do a lot to hurt themselves. However, as Bielema just noted, when they went on the road to Penn State earlier this year in a similar environment, they had a really hard time. They had a lot of penalties, a lot of false starts, had to blow timeouts, couldn't get play calls in. So that's a catch-22 of maybe they have the experience and it won't be the case this weekend, but also they've shown me in a big road environment they weren't quite ready for the challenge. They held in there tough with Penn State, so maybe Oregon doesn't cover the spread, but I don't see the letdown necessarily happening this weekend.
You maybe need to change that expression. They've had people tell them how good their farts smell. It's an odd thing to visualize Tez Johnson on campus. Hey, Tez!
Good one, dude. Smells good.
Man, I love the smell of those farts.
Smells great, man.
It's a very odd thing to say to somebody.
Yeah, somebody texting in, too, on the quarterback topic, basically saying if they continue to bring in transfer quarterbacks as your starter, it's bound to have a negative effect on your high school quarterback recruiting. And I disagree with that. I think quarterbacks
it's
look
for... It's a different
world
we live in, man.
It's absolutely a different world. They want to see, are you successful? Like, Lanning was asked about this yesterday. I think Tyson, our buddy at the I-5 quarter, asked him yesterday, like, quarterback success, how have you done it, blah, blah, blah. Is it translating to high school recruiting? And his answer was, high school recruits want to see, did you come in and did you get better? Look at Bo Nix and where he was when he came in to where he left. He was a top 12 pick in the draft.
Yeah.
So there's no doubt that he got better. The number one quarterback in the 2026 class just decommitted from Georgia last week, and he did an interview saying Oregon's his front runner. He's the number two overall player in the country. Now, will he end up committing? I have no clue. That's a long ways off. But this idea that it's hurt them in quarterback recruiting in high school has not had an impact yet.
But it is the one thing that's interesting is Oregon is ascending here with Lanning, and I don't know what the season will be, but it's certainly lining up to be a pretty great season so far. You get to a point where eventually you get a number one type of recruit, you got to hand the reins to him day one. It's kind of not that world anymore where these five stars just want to sit on it. Like, you got a Raiola situation, and there's a risk in that, right? Like, Tennessee is still in this conversation. It ain't because their five-star quarterback they paid a lot of money to has been amazing, and this isn't even his first year. So it's a weird world that these coaches have to live in of, like, do I take this guy that I know is good, or do I invest, develop, and, like, say, I might lose a season of winning a national championship because I have the one-star or the number one five-star quarterback starting year one as a true freshman.
Well, and maybe they feel like they're where Tennessee is, where our defense is good enough, right. Our run game is good enough. We don't need you to be perfect. We're going to win 10 or 11 games and be a playoff team, and that's good enough for a year. That could be the case. I think in terms of where they go next year at that position, the offseason will tell me all I need to know. This staff has built the trust with that position to the point of the whole segment.
Mm-hmm.
If they go get a transfer, that tells me they don't think Dante Moore's ready. If they don't hit anybody in the transfer portal, that tells me they think Dante Moore is ready, and they have earned that trust from me as a fan.
Let's talk with George Reister, former tight end for your Oregon Ducks. He joins us coming up next. We got the big PP picks. We got NFL, college football to talk about. We talk with George Reister next on The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. 7:35 on your Thursday morning. We were just talking Ducks, quarterback position, the future, and all of that. Let's continue on with friend of the show, George Reister, former Oregon Duck, The Unafraid Show on YouTube, Mad Dog Radio as well. And you can give him a follow on Twitter, at George Reister. George, good morning to you, man. Thanks for hopping on. I'm curious what you made of the way Oregon was able to go on the road Friday night, win 35-0. Were you concerned at all about that game? And how do you think it affects another top 20 team coming into Autzen Stadium on Saturday?
Oh, I was a little bit concerned, but all those concerns were alleviated after the first drive and the first defensive stop. I was like, oh, okay, cool, they're ready. And it's always good to see when you have a very good team after an emotional win, after a big win, and then they're able to come back the next week and show that they're focused. And so that was probably the most impressive thing about it. And with Illinois coming to the stadium this weekend to Autzen, there's no chance that they're not going to come into that game prepared or sleepwalking, because if they didn't last week, you know it's not going to happen this week. They are locked in totally. Dan's that they were locked in, and, you know, there's no reason not to trust them right now.
Yeah, George, I want to ask you about that. Playing at Oregon and having the football experience you do as a player, what does stand out from your perspective when you hear Dan Lanning or watch a Dan Lanning coach team? What stands out to you?
Oh, it's the physicality. It's the physicality and attention to detail, because if you notice, this has not been a highly penalized team since he's been there. And that's one of the most important things that you can do as a team is not beat yourself with penalties. And when his first year there, I think we had a lot of false start penalties and pre-play penalties. And even in the beginning of this season, you had a few. But the most important thing is that you continue to get better as the season goes on. And we've seen him build a roster, right? A roster and a collection of talent that has turned into a team, right? Because a lot of these programs, like you look at what Ole Miss has done right now, number one transfer portal class, they've thrown a bunch of money around, and they thought that that was going to work, but they haven't built a team. And the most important thing that you can do is build a cohesive unit that is ready for any and everything, and that's probably the most impressive thing.
Well, on that note, George, I'm curious to ask you because, I mean, you obviously went to Oregon and the recruiting game has changed a little bit in the last, you know, 20 or so years.
As have the uniforms.
As have the uniforms a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit's changed. I'm just curious because you see a lot of that, like when Oregon brings in guys or they're linked to a future recruit or, you know, hey, number one player in the country says Oregon's his leader. And you get the immediate pushback of like, oh, there they go. It's just Phil Knight throwing the bag around. But I always lean back on the culture and the limited number of guys who have transferred out of the program as a testament to what Lanning has built. What is your reaction when you see people just say, well, Oregon's only doing this, Lanning's only doing this because they got a big bag of money to spend, and that's the only reason they're bringing talent in?
Well, the first thing is that it's actually laughable because when you look at the amount of kids that, and you pointed out, that don't transfer out even when they're not at the top of the depth chart, that shows you that there's a culture there. And the funny part is Oregon's not even throwing around as much money as people think they are. That's the funny part is when you don't understand something and you can't explain it, you will come up with any solution that will soften your increase your belief in yourself or the fact that you're right. So there are teams that will say, oh, this is just because they're throwing around a bunch of money and our NIL is just not the same, because it softens the blow for them. But the reality is that the recruits want to be here, is that, yes, there is NIL money. However, they're finding kids who want to be at Oregon. And there's a lot of programs that have a lot of money to throw around and they still can't sign kids. And the problem, and if they do, then the kids don't really want to be there. It's because of the money, and they will transfer out at the first sign of trouble, or the first sign of something not being perfect. So I think that that's the key for you to determine whether it's all about the money or anything like that, is that the longevity that guys stay there, even when they're not necessarily at the top of the depth chart, and you see the happiness that they have for their teammates, the joy and jubilation that they show on the sideline, because you can't fake that. Because I've been in a locker room where I wasn't happy with my role or my situation, and you just don't, you can't even fake that joy. So the idea, it's a justification from blue blood programs that they're like, oh, well, it's only because of the money. As soon as Phil Knight's gone, this thing is going to fall apart. All we got to do is wait. Well, that's not true, because it's been built. It's, as Dan says, rooted in substance. This has been built since before I got there in 99 with Coach Bellotti, like the 97-98 team. That was the team that changed everything. And then you go and you keep progressing and you win more games. You go to national championships. You go to playoffs. You do all of these things. And the brand has become so attractive and so strong that their only explanation now is, oh, you must be cheating or you must be throwing around a lot of money. And it makes us laugh.
Yeah, but George, you are jealous that you're not playing for the Ducks now with the uniforms and the shoes now, right?
I mean, I was a part of the original uniform change.
Yeah.
And then a part of helping get more uniforms. So no, I'm not jealous. I'm actually super excited because there should be an evolution. It's almost like if you're a record holder, right?
Yeah.
There are some record holders that are jealous and don't want people to break their records. And then there are some that are like, yo, I set this benchmark high and you went and got it, bro. Good on you.
Mm.
I'm that person that's like, yo, you are so, like, I set the bar so high and now you went and got it. Yo, I love it. And that's what I see when I see Oregon is that I'm, you know, I'm doing well myself, so I don't need to be jealous of the teenagers that are getting money. I'm excited because I got a chance to testify in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee about name, image, and likeness as an advocate for these kids and for their opportunity to make money. And so it's a blessing to get a chance to see it happen. Now, I do think that there need to be some reforms in terms of that way these deals are out in the open, the way they're enforceable. because there's a bunch of kids that are getting screwed by universities who have promised them things and they're not coming through on them. And one thing that I have not heard about the University of Oregon, and there's a couple other universities too, because my son's a freshman in college now, so I know a bunch of these, especially quarterbacks around the country, and there's a bunch of kids who aren't getting what they're supposed to get or what they were promised to get. So I believe that those deals should be above board. That way everybody can see him, and that when the way when the kid doesn't perform, yes, he shouldn't. Like, if you don't do the job that you were tasked to do, like if you don't do your appearances, you don't do what don't do the things that are outlined in your contract, no, you shouldn't be paid. And just like when you do perform to your contract, you should be paid. And I think that those things are crucially important.
So, George Reister, not a hater. I love that answer. I would ask you, though, your time at Oregon, of all the places you frequented the most, which one do you wish you could have got NIL money from in Eugene? Like, Where did George Reister go the most that he probably feels like owes him a couple dollars for the amount of times he was there?
Well, actually, they don't owe me anything because I ate free there the majority of time, and that's GJ's.
Yeah.
I would end up at GJ's all the time. There were great people around there, and there, and I cannot say that I paid for a lot of meals in Eugene.
Sanctions.
So nobody owes me anything.
Sanctions.
People have come around asking about that, including HBO, like a few years ago, and a bunch of people. And hey, man, I don't know nothing about nothing, man.
we have listeners texting in about your Escalade in college. We'll just leave that there. We don't need to get into that.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Absolutely not.
No comment.
Absolutely not. Nope. I had a Toyota Camry in college. No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah, publicly you got a Toyota Camry. Privately, Escalade.
Hey, you're still down in L.A. Are you down in Los Angeles? Is that where you're based out of?
Yeah. Yep.
How much? What's been the reaction, and how much fun have you had watching what's going on with Lincoln Riley and USC the last couple of weeks?
Oh man, hey man, what did they say? Lions don't worry about the goings on of sheep. Oh.
So he's got nothing else to offer.
Why would we look down? Yeah. That's a valid point.
Yeah. Why would we be looking down the ladder? I mean, because if you look down, you fall. We're continuing to focus on going up. If they, it's kind of like Rocky with Drago. If he dies, he dies.
I love that, man. Where can people find the Unafraid Show? How often is it on? Let the listeners know where they can find it.
Yeah, of course, on SiriusXM, you guys can listen to it every single day, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 Pacific. But even more so, if you're a college football fan, go to Unafraid Show on YouTube. Every single day, there's new content. There's content surrounding Oregon, surrounding the entire college football, and that's Unafraid Show on YouTube. Make sure you go, share, like. There's a lot of Duck fans on there already. If you're not on there, you're missing out.
Yeah, he's one of the great Ducks. Had some great memories as a kid watching George Reister catching touchdown passes. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at George Reister. Thanks for the time, man, and the laughs this morning. Let's do it again soon.
Yes, sir. All right.
There you go. George Reister. Good stuff from him. Don't look down the ladder. Oregon versus Oregon this week, baby. Nobody's giving us a chance.
Yeah, I felt like he was going to take that approach, the whole lion sheep thing. You don't look down the ladder. They suck. They're terrible. It's basically what he said.
Yeah, the listeners are clarifying. After he got drafted, he got the Escalade. Yeah. After he got drafted, Toyota Camry, then he got drafted.
Did get a lot of free meals at a restaurant. I think that's illegal.
I don't know what you're talking about. Let's stick in the college football world, including a bad look for one head coach. That is next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Right, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We've got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Our big PP picks coming up at 8:15. How did everybody do? I'll let you know. We'll pick the four games.
Not good, Bob.
Not good.
Not good. 1-2.
We'll let you know.
Well,
recap
one
the picks.
Two. Yeah, 1-2.
Remind Swag how he did. I'll remind you how I did. We'll go over that at 8:15.
Mm.
I was going to get to a college football note here. I'm going to punt that to the final hour.
Yeah, punt that.
Because we got a text at the Vancouver Ford text line. And we give the people what they want. Guys, I'm here for the Timbers talk. What the hell was that last night? Dirt and Sprague is my soccer headquarters.
Hell yeah.
We are your soccer headquarters. We are aficionados when it comes to this sport.
5-0.
We just got to it in the report. I wanted to read the entire thing. This is pretty wild. And I want, what is going on here? This is bad.
This is your franchise? Well, right now, your franchise.
He's the face of the franchise.
He's the
right,
face of the franchise.
Evander's the biggest guy in town.
Yes, Chara is still. I mean, he's
like the legacy player.
But Evander's the current best player.
Yes,
on
he's the
team.
Current best player.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they lose 5-0 to the Whitecaps last night. It was a play-in playoff game. Yep. Horrible result. They only got it at home because of motocross, and they embarrassed in front of their fans. Evander took to social media last night after the game at like 11:15 at night. And this is what he said. I'll read the entire tweet for you. He said, first, I want to apologize to all the fans who on a Wednesday night dropped everything to support us. It's really hard to lose the way that we did. The truth is, losing is not in our plans, but we have to deal with it. I want to say that we, the players and the entire staff, did everything we could to take Portland as far as possible. However, sometimes we have no control over what happens, and what happens off the field reflects on the field.
Hmm.
Portland fans do not deserve the people who have power over this club. People who say they are men but do not keep their word. People who are only there when the team wins. Unfortunately, these are things we have no control over. I have always fought and will continue to fight to put this team on top. To the fans, you deserve much more. Thank you for your unconditional support, and we'll see you next season.
What is he talking about there, Swag? Is that a... What's that reference to?
I mean, this is a horrible look to have the face of your franchise after losing a playoff game.
Call out the
organization. Go on social media and say, people who say they are men but do not keep their word, people who are only there when the team wins, Portland fans do not deserve the people who have the power over this club.
I don't know if that's all the way up to ownership. I don't know if that's the GM that they thought they were going to have opportunities to bring in, you know, more players or higher pro.
Was that the report that they were bringing in more players and then nothing happened?
There's always rumors about they're going to finally get something from somebody. They don't. The one thing they have never traditionally done is go get a Beckham or a Messi at the end of their career to come in and do that. They haven't done it in the past. That's not how they've operated the team.
What was the guy's name that wanted to have sex with himself?
Excuse me?
The great player?
Oh, Ibrahimovic?
Yeah,
I wanted that.
Zlatan.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Zlatan make love to Zlatan.
He definitely would have sex with himself.
Yeah, absolutely he would have.
So, Marilyn Manson rumors?
So
he's classier than
I'm
that.
I'm not super positive if that's...
You're our Timbers guy. What
I need
are you
it.
Talking
I
about?
Been,
I, well, I haven't been there as much this year, so unfortunately. But
imagine like we kind of Dame losing in the playoffs, coming out and just having something like this. The men who control this organization who aren't men, they lie to your face. Like
I think this would be Ant coming out last night and saying something of this effect, and you'd be like, "Is this a Joe?"
Well, when
Chance,
old Shea was there, nobody would have we would have known who everybody was talking about.
That's true. Yeah, this is a shot at ownership. I mean, that's a bad look. I know things haven't been going swimmingly behind the scenes for a number of years, and they've been trying to, you know, fight that battle, and fans have gotten frustrated from time to time. You have a player come out like that after an embarrassing playoff loss, wondering where they go in the offseason.
Well, you highlighted it yesterday in kind of like jokey fashion, but they did actually send us a note because we talked to Liam Ridgewell about a funny photo he had sitting on the toilet.
They did, yeah.
As if like, oh, how dare you bring us to this level of like dumb comedy. And then what was it? 2 years later, they had all of that off the field stuff go on with them and the Thorns. And it's just like, why don't you look in the mirror and clean your own house first?
Yeah, somebody texted again. The Timbers have done a lot of house cleaning when it comes to the front office over the last few years. So it's confusing coming from Evander, but the way he says it and the way things can get lost in translation, I'm almost wondering if he's asking the fans, we don't control the stuff that happens on the field, like fandom.
I heard the fans were booing at one point.
I would boo too. You were down
nothing.
5-0 at home in a playoff game.
So this is more about fans? Like we don't know how to interpret this?
He seemed very supportive of the fans in that message.
Well,
like,
he said Portland doesn't deserve the people in power. So is that Is that saying we don't deserve them? They're too good, or is that saying we're good? We deserve better.
Things are going swimmingly with our professional sports franchises in our city right now.
What do we say? One center court is the Portland expression for the Blazers. What's the Timber equivalent? What's that cross? What are the cross streets over
there? Yeah, what's the side street over there?
Oh, what are you on? You're on. It's 18th. I think it's 18th and Burnside.
Burnside, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Burnside's burning right now.
Things are going great over there on 18th and Burnside.
Not going great. When do we get the WNBA? They're coming to town. Do we trust their owners? They've got good owners, right? Right?
They're the Thorns people. They just made a couple hires yesterday.
Okay, all right. So we got that going for us.
We're
going
to get Sabrina. That's like the most untalked about thing that I think
definitely
going to
happen.
Happen.
Mike Barrett's going to be a badass owner of a baseball team. We got all that to look forward to in the years to come.
Go get the White Sox, baby.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with that franchise, huh?
So we are your soccer insiders. We cover it closely here, and that's a not a good look from the old face of the franchise tweeting that after an embarrassing playoff loss. We'll see you next year, Timbers, which will be in like 2 months. When does their season begin?
Yeah,
isn't it like in like January as it starts, or
I think February's preseason. Their
February.
First games are in March.
Unbelievable. See you in 3 months. We'll see you in 3 months, Timbers. Your 9 month season will commence soon. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Our big PP picks coming up at 8:15 Thursday night football. Are we excited? We'll start though in college football. An embarrassing look for one coach who's playing a big game this weekend, and he's got another big one the weekend after that. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.